This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to try to wrap up this Abbey Gate stuff here, and then we'll wash that off of us and talk about a little bit of news of the day. We'll get to some emails and other things. So we pull out of Afghanistan. We send our guys back in. 13 of our men are incinerated because the Biden administration is evil and our military leaders are morons. Remember what I talked about in the very beginning of the show? Two things are owed to the people willing to give up their lives for a country. You owe it to them not to throw their lives away for nothing. And you owe it to them to honor their sacrifice once they make it. Honor them. Speak about them with reverence. To treat their families with reverence. Remember how Joe Biden treated the families. Now think about this moment. You're a parent. The worst thing in the world has happened. In the world. You finally find out the day has come where you have to go out to an Air Force base and you have to welcome your son or daughter in a coffin draped in an American flag. I just can't even imagine. If that was one of my little buddies, I just can't even imagine the anguish. Now, remember what I said about the old men, the leaders, having an obligation to honor the sacrifice? Here's one of the mothers.
During the losing fight transfer, there was a bit of a controversy because
he kept checking his watch.
So it was more than one time?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I think it was probably the fifth time or third time I seen him do it, I had made the comment, what's he keep checking for? Is it nap time? He checked it again. I said, if he keeps checking his watch, I'm going to end up saying something. Because I was feeling very disrespected. Our kids are being brought off this plane in metal boxes. We're excited that our kids are home, but it's a different type of excitement. It's just that finally we have our kids home, we can lay them to rest. Not the type of excitement, cool, we're going to get to hug our kid and tell him how much we miss him. No. It was our kids were being brought home in metal boxes, and this man is looking at his watch like he has someplace better to be or something more important to do. And I just felt so disrespected.
It wasn't one time. 13 bodies, 13 watch checks.
It didn't go well. He talked a bit more about his own son than he did my son, and that didn't sit well with me.
In reference to the checking of his watch, that didn't happen just once. That happened on every single one that came out of that airplane. It happened on every single one of them. They would release the salute, and he'd look down at his watch. On every last one, all 13, he looked down at his watch.
I actually leaned into my son's mother's ear, and I said, I swear to God, if he checks his watch one more time, and that was only probably four times in, I couldn't look at him anymore after that, just considering especially the time and why we were there. It was, I found to be the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen.
You send 13 of our bravest to die because of your idiocy and evilness, your selfishness. And as their bodies are being brought to their parents, what's going through your head? Oh, I'm so bored. Gosh, can we wrap this up? Oh, only another 20 minutes. Oh, and let's finish all this with this. Again, in search of better approval numbers, we sent in a Reaper drone and vaporized 10 innocent people, 6 of them children. The United States of America, our government, We killed six babies. We killed six babies, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs afterwards said this.
Were there others killed? Yes, there are others killed. Who they are, we don't know. We'll try to sort through all that. But we believe that the procedures at this point, I don't want to influence the outcome of an investigation, but at this point, we think that the procedures were correctly followed, and it was a righteous strike.
A righteous strike. How upset were the people who ran all this after this sacrifice, after this tragedy? What did the Biden administration, all of them, Secretary of Defense, what did they think about this whole thing?
Do you have regrets about their withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
And so for all this talk of chaos, I just didn't see it, not from my perch. At one point during the evacuation, there was an aircraft taking off full of people, Americans and Afghans alike, every 48 minutes. And not one single mission was missed. So I'm sorry, I just won't buy the whole argument of chaos.
Mr. President, when you made a failure in Afghanistan, mistakes, there was a report on Afghanistan withdrawal saying there was failure, mistakes. Do you admit there was mistakes during the withdrawal and before?
No, all the evidence is coming back there. Remember what I said about Afghanistan? I said Al-Qaeda would not be there. I said it wouldn't be there. I said we'd get help from the Taliban. What's happening now? What's going on? Read your press. I was right.
Defiant, mean to the end. Oh, and lest we forget, the drone strike where we incinerated six innocent babies. This was Kirby.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
A disgrace. And our troops deserve so much better. Marine Lance Corporal David L. Espinoza of Rio Bravo, Texas. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole L. G., 23, of Sacramento, California. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover of Salt Lake City. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan C. Naus of Corton, Tennessee. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez of Indio, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum of Jackson, Wyoming. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan R. Marola of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem N. Nicau of Norco, California. Marine Corps Sergeant Johnny Rosario Picardo of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Marine Corps Corporal Umberto A. Sanchez of Longsport, Indiana. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared M. Schmitz of St. Charles, Missouri. Navy Hospital Corpsman Maxton W. Soviak of Berlin Heights, Ohio. And Marine Corps Corporal Dagan W. Page of Omaha, Nebraska. Rest in peace, warriors.
Thank you.
still steams me. But that's it. We're going to walk away from that. Just felt obligated to do that on this 4 year of a pretty terrible universe, or pretty terrible anniversary, right? It's terrible, but this is the kind of stuff that is necessary to keep in mind. If we don't bring this stuff up, if this stuff just gets forgotten about, if we move on to the newest scandal, the newest thing, then what happens is nothing actually changes inside of the machine. Nothing changes. They think they'll get away with it. Sure, you might get some bad press for a day or two. Keep your head down, hunker down. You'll get through it all. No. No, Mark Milley should be brought up on charges for this. People in the Biden administration should face justice for this. It's not a small thing. It's everything. All right. Let's talk about these 600,000 Chinese students we apparently have to bring into the country. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Now let's tackle this Chinese students thing here really quickly, and then we'll get back to, you know, we're going to do some emails and stuff. I know that was heavy, and I'm not sorry. I did it. I felt obligated to do it. I felt like we owed that to them, but I don't like to drag you down with all the heavy stuff. So let's just do a couple more quick things here, then we'll move on. So yesterday, we brought it up on the show. We played it on the show. Donald Trump announced that now we're going to have 600,000 Chinese students. They're still going to get to go to college here. No. He doubled down on that again today. He had a big press conference. It was like 3 hours long earlier in the day. Here's what he said.
I think it's very insulting to say students can't come here, because they'll go out and they'll start building schools and they'll be able to survive it. But I like that their students come here. I like that other country students come here. And you know what would happen if they didn't? Our college system would go to hell very quickly. You'd have, and it wouldn't be the top colleges. It would be colleges that struggle on the bottom. And I told this to President Xi, that we're honored to have their students here. Now, with that, we check and we're careful and we see who's there, and Marco wants that. We spoke. We're in the same position.
Okay, that's wade through the truth of what's happening here. We check and we're careful. If you are a Chinese student and you want to go to college in the United States of America, you only get to do that with the permission of the Chinese Communist Party and the understanding that you are there under orders. There's no need to check. If it's a Chinese student here, boom, your check is done. That is a spy. And even if they're not today, they can be tomorrow. They are spies. They show up here. They hoover up. Well, they steal. They steal information. They spy on everything. That's why they're here. Now, he mentioned colleges might go out of business. Well, the bottom colleges. Howard Lutnick was actually asked about this by Laura Ingraham last night. He said the same thing, and then dropped a jaw-dropping stat. I don't know if he meant to, but here it was.
How is allowing 600,000 students from the communist country of China putting America first?
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top. All the students would go up to better schools, and the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking
the bottom 15% of colleges would go out of business. Okay. So I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but if we remove 600,000 Chinese spies, 15% of the university system will close. So 15% of our university system are Chinese students? The United States of America, the land of the free, has exactly one country on the planet that potentially could supplant us as being the number one country on earth. They have the people, the economy, the size. They haven't, but they could. And they've announced their intention to do so. In America, we created long ago a pretty wonderful education system in this country. I realize it's been carpet bombed by the communists by now, but a pretty wonderful education system. We let the Chi-Coms use it at will. 15% of the American university system are Chi-Coms? What? What have we done to our country? What have we done to the United States of America? The United States of America is for Americans. Americans first. Canada's for Canadians. China's for the Chinese. France is for the French. Our country, your government, should at all times prioritize you. First, second, third, fourth, and fifth. When we get to sixth, we can start talking about maybe helping someone else out. That's fine, right? I don't want to be an isolationist. That's not what I'm saying. We've allowed the Chi-Coms to conquer 15% of enrollment in our university system. Did I hear that right?
How is allowing 600,000 students from the communist country of China putting America first?
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top. All the students would go up to better schools, and the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking a rational economic view.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless that that's where we're at. I'm speechless that that's what's being defended. Frankly, I'm speechless that we are now on the right defending the university system. The university system in the United States of America is your mortal enemy. The people who operate it, go look up how they think. Go look up what they think about you, your history, your religion, your country, your family. The people who operate higher education in the United States of America, in large part, and I mean the vast majority of them, despise you in this country, and they work day and night to produce committed communist foot soldiers and graduate them to carpet bomb the place. Our justification for allowing 600,000 Chi-Coms is to keep that university system up? I'm gonna have to count me out on that one. Let's do some emails. I'm just gonna go ahead and walk away from this before I get too upset today. Before we do some emails, let's do something wonderful. Let's feel good all the time, with energy all the time. Energy is so underrated, and it's something you don't think about when you're super young because you're always bouncing off the walls, always doing something, weren't we? Always on our bike, running around, doing something, having fun. But then, as you get older, probably diet gets worse, you don't move around as much, you kind of run out of gas, but a lot of that's your testosterone, gentlemen. A lot of it just comes down to T levels. If you don't have it, you're going to be out of gas. Let Chalk's Male Vitality Stack change your life. Clinically tested, 20% increase to your testosterone in 90 days. You are going to feel like a new person. That's 90 days. Do it after a year, 2 years. I'm over 3 years now. Gosh, I feel good. Feel good like I do all the time. Get a subscription, chalk.com/Jesse. chok.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's do some emails. I'm just, maybe I ought to stick with the emails right now. Between Abigate and this 600,000 Chinese students, I'm just all kinds of aggravated, and I don't want to be aggravated. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I was listening to your show when you mentioned the Hellcat pilot that just died. It's amazing that he lived so long. My father flew a Hellcat dive bomber in the Pacific. He never talked about it like most World War II veterans. When I was in the seventh grade, I had to give a report on what my parents did during the war. It was the first time I learned anything about his service other than knowing he flew a plane. He received multiple distinguished flying medals along with the Navy Cross. Woo! He had a direct hit on a Japanese battleship and the Battle of Leyte Gulf. Those carrier pilots had one of the highest mortality rates during the war. I mention all this because he died at the age of 58. I'm sure he had undiagnosed PTSD, definitely drank too much, had all sorts of intestinal issues that ended up killing him when they teamed up with cancer. God bless the pilot that just died. I am sure he is a rarity among the pilots that survived the Pacific. So there's a thing that we've talked about before on the show, but that does not get near enough love, is the honestly borderline insane bravery of the World War II air crews, bomber crews, flight crews, Pacific, Europe. If I may make a suggestion, and I've suggested this to you before, you either have an air museum of some kind in your area, or you will eventually be road tripping or flying somewhere and you will see one, because they're all over the country, air museums. And all of them, well, at least everyone I've ever been in, has older planes, World War II planes, this and that. If you ever have a moment, go. Take your kids and go. And, like, I'm not telling you to nerd out on all the airline details. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe it's not. I want you to go and look inside, or step inside if they allow you, a World War II plane, a bomber or a fighter plane. Even if you're just right beside it, it's enough. I want you to look at it. Because we picture in our heads, we know what they look like. We've seen videos. We're not stupid. But some level of armor or something, or some level of advanced technology of some kind, there's nothing to them. Nothing to them. They look, and this is not realistic, but they look, when you see them there, they look like you could walk up and, like, lift it up, put it on your shoulder and kind of just pick it up a little bit. That's how they look. There's nothing to them. And these men, you mentioned the Hellcat guys in the Pacific. You crawl into the seat of a Hellcat. You take off the aircraft carrier. By the way, many, many, many men died doing just that. Remember, if your plane goes down, something goes wrong, something gets screwed up, and you go down and hit the water when you're off, you are almost, well, I shouldn't say almost, undoubtedly, you might be a dead man. A dead man. Now, you've taken off. Good for you. Now you have to go way up into the sky. There's no GPS. There's no GPS. There's no none of this stuff. You are up into the sky. You have to circle around in the sky waiting for your other buddies to get up in the air with you, because you have to fly in formation somewhere. Once, by the way, that in and of itself, people would die because you run into each other. Remember, we're dealing with young men here in their 20s, and it's complicated. There's visibility issues. There's wind. There's different skill levels. Just that. You might smash into another plane, and then your final moments on the earth, if you're still alive, you're watching the Pacific Ocean come rushing at you as you fly down. But then you have to take off, and you're heading towards a target where you think it might be. I want to again stress, it's not an exact science. It's not 2025 where there are satellites telling you exact coordinates. I mean, the plane will fly itself there. No, 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 no. You're heading out in a direction where you think they might be. The Pacific Ocean is a vast place. And if you find them, then the real trouble begins. Because every modern navy in World War II, us, the Japanese, the Germans, the Brits, every modern navy knew that the biggest threat was from the air. Yes, other ships were a threat. Yes, submarines were a threat. But the thing that will most likely send you and all your men to the bottom in flame and water is a plane. Planes. So they're equipped with an absurd amount of anti-aircraft weaponry, to shoot you out of the sky. Oh, and if you're going after a carrier group, they will have seen you coming and they will have planes in the sky to shoot you down while you attack them. There are some of, if you ever nerd out on battles, I've brought up the Battle of Midway before. There are these small unit, like small pockets of information that you get, and they're just stunning. Remember in the Pacific, there are really three basic kinds of aircraft. There are more than that, but three of the most common you would see are fighter planes, dive bombers. That goes without saying. You go up, you have a big heavy bomb, you dive down, try to release it, and then torpedo planes. The torpedo plane was suicide. You are not up in the sky diving down. You're not in a fast fighter. You're right above the water, flying really low, right at whatever ship you're about to drop your torpedo at, and you're not going 600 miles an hour because there aren't rockets back then, rocket engines. There's just prop planes. They're all shooting directly at you. They'll probably see the whites of your eyes before they blow your head off. And there are segments of torpedo bombers where just none of them came back. None. It's not like 50% casualty rate. Oh, we sent out 30. None of them returned. Suicide. There's nothing to the plane. Maybe it's a vehicle thing because I've always felt this. I felt this way about tankers, about submariners, and definitely about the pilots. I just cannot imagine getting in a piece of equipment and making that run. And then, oh, there's a little thing called fuel. You know how many times those guys would do an attack and they'd be flying back towards where they hope their carriers were, only the plane is wounded and or they themselves are very wounded because the planes aren't bulletproof. You're trying to make it back to the carrier with your legs shot to pieces, a bullet, a sucking chest wound, your neck is bleeding. You know how many guys simply bled out in the cockpit and crashed into the water having survived the mission back? And their friends are flying right beside them. Right beside them. You go wave goodbye to your buddy, and then you pass out and that's it. Don't ever, and that's not even the bomber crews of Europe. Don't ever discount the insane suicidal bravery of World War II pilots, man. Crazy. And so many answered the call. Credit to them. Credit to all of them. All right. Let's touch on a couple things here real quick. Something Tulsi Gabbard said, something Sean Duffy said. Then we'll get back to some emails. Here's what I said. Protect your retirement account. Protect it. Protect it as if something bad could happen to it. You notice the stock market right now? Really high, isn't it? Almost record highs. You know, I tend to like history. I know you do too. What's history say comes right after a nice little record high? Virtually every time. The dot-com bubble, all these things. What happened right after all that? Get something in your retirement so you don't lose it all. Please. Precious metals are what last. Things you can touch and feel are what last. They're not sexy. Right? When the stock market's high, you always want to buy the hot thing, whatever's sexy, but they last. Reliability is underrated when it comes to the money you've worked hard for your whole life. Gold Co. will handle it all for you. They will even send you a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit. 855-817-GOLD or jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Here was Tulsi Gabbard today.
And you also found many...
Tulsi doesn't have a cold. That's Donald Trump talking first, but then it goes to Tulsi Gabbard.
And you also found many...
Maybe she's been smoking Marlboros.
On behalf of this beautiful group.
Now I pressed the wrong button. All right, Chris, I need you to...
But my focus is...
Just stay focused.
And you've also found many bags of information. I think they call them burn bags. They're supposed to be burned, and they didn't get burned, having to do with how corrupt the 2020 election was. And when will that all come out?
Mr. President, I will be the first to brief you once we have that information collected. But you're right. It's we are finding documents literally tucked away in the back of safes in random offices in these bags and in other areas, which again speaks to the intent of those who are trying to hide the truth from the American people and trying to cover up the politicization that was led by people like John Brennan and James Clapper and others that have caused really immeasurable harm to the American people and to our country.
She's not wrong about the immeasurable harm. The bond of trust that has been shattered between us and our institutions is not going to be easily won back. The Trump administration has a long road ahead of them. I'm glad they're doing this stuff and trying to get that done. Sean Duffy, transportation secretary. Well, here's what Sean Duffy had to say.
That indicated that we were going to take out of service truck drivers who were not proficient in speaking the English language. We announced that in May. And it was going to go in, it did go into effect at the end of June. Now, when we did that, there was a lot of press that complained to us that we were being unfair to people, that we were being mean to people. And what we said was, no, this is a safety issue. Making sure drivers of very heavy 80,000-pound rigs can speak the language is truly a critical safety issue. And some complained about it. We implemented it at the end of June. And all of us in America saw what happened in Florida.
It's not just what happened in Florida, where that illegal from India killed an entire family, making the most ridiculously illegal U-turn you've ever seen in your life. Florida was not a one-off. This happens all the time. All the time in the United States of America, our trucking industry, and honestly, truckers are some of the best people I've ever known in my entire life. They're a different breed, I'll tell you that, very much a different breed. But not only do they make the country go, those are wonderful American jobs, and oftentimes they're independently owned. Did you know that? Obviously, there are big corporations, and there's nothing wrong with that. But did you know lots of times that truck, that is somebody's entire business, essentially. That's their livelihood. Independence, American jobs, people feeding their families. There are husband-wife combos who do it. In fact, there are some listening to this show right now. We handed those jobs to foreigners too. And now American families get wiped out on the highway because they're texting. They can't read road signs. Just driving around like it's India or Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala or whatever place where they drive like complete insane people. Taking those driving skills to the United States of America's highways, killing Americans, and it's been done on purpose. In California, they give them driver's licenses. Dear world-famous author and robe guy, I love the admiration I get for being a robe guy now, Chris. You can hear it in people's emails that they're jealous, obviously. There's a lot of jealousy going around. I only own one robe right now, my Cozy Earth robe, but that's going to expand. And you know what else? You know what else? I had this thought today. I think I'm going to become a fashion guy. Don't shake your head, Chris. I think this is a skill that can be learned. Everybody knows I don't know anything about fashion, and I don't know how to dress. And I have to hear from Aub all the time, is that what you're wearing? And everyone knows that's a passive-aggressive way for women to tell you you look like crap. But what, Chris? What? What? Do I want to have a closet the size of my wife's? No. No, you don't have to have that many clothes to be a fashion guy. 4 or 5 pair of fashionable pants, you're good to go. 4 or 5 pair of fashionable shoes. And some shirts. What, Chris? What? You own 5 pairs of shoes? Let me think. I have my OnClouds I have on right now. I have my workout shoes. I have 2 pair of cowboy boots. I have a pair of Hey Dudes. I like my Hey Dudes. Those are super comfortable. And I have a pair of dress shoes. So that's what? How many is that? Six. I don't need any more to be fashionable, Chris. What I'll do is I'll make the stuff I have more fashionable. I think I can be a fashion guy. I could see me being pretty impressive. That's what I'm going to say. It's the robe thing. It's like a, it's almost like a drug. I'm not super experienced with it, but it starts small, you know. I'm sure it's just a little bit of cocaine, just a little booger sugar, and then soon you're Pablo Escobar. That's what happened to me with the robe. As soon as I put it on, I knew I look better than everyone else. And I wanted to continue doing that. And that's what I think I'm going to continue doing. I'm going to get jackets, too. It's fashionable people have a lot of jackets and scarves. Where are they? Is it scarves? Is it the plural scarves? That's why I went to community college. We didn't cover that section. It was hot there. We didn't wear them. But I could see me having a lot of scarves. Really? No, it's not gay. It's not gay to have a scarf. People had scarves in Montana all the time. I'm going to get cashmere ones. It's from Afghanistan. You wouldn't understand. Well, I probably shouldn't give Afghanistan my business. I'll get an American version of cashmere, which I'm not sure, totally sure exists. All right, let's talk about making artillery rounds. The Mexican government is completely owned by the cartels. Let's first talk about more Democrat violent language. And there's a rep from Michigan who said something on purpose, on camera. It may remind you and me what we're up against. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.